We're a seasonal dairy. We only operate from September, October through to May, June. So we're right on the end of our season. The girls are pregnant, the milk's dropping off, and the milk quality is fantastic.
And how has it been last time I saw you? You were very busy because it was only yourself and Kate doing the cheese making and everything. Now you've got some extra help.
We do. We've kept busy, like some of our customers during the COVID period. We increased our production. We increased our outflow, and we were very lucky with that. We'd lost almost 90% of our food service customers in one weekend. We'd already started to refocus the business a little bit in the meantime, and the cheese has just found a wider following, and people are embracing diversity in cheese. So it's not just cow's cheese anymore. People are looking more at... Certainly in Tassie, we've got buffalo, sheep, cow and goat producers that are producing fantastic produce.
And you've got some extra staff now.
We do. It's allowed us to expand and to take on a number of part-time and full-time staff. And so it's eased the burden on me. And I love what I do, but I love it even more now that I'm not doing it all.
And one of the things you've done is you've gone carbon neutral.
We've gone a step beyond that, Tony. We're actually now carbon positive.
Really?
So it's taken us a while to get the numbers we needed to prove it. And I'll say now, it's not done through the accredited ERF scheme or the government scheme.
Okay.
So we've just done the calculations.
Okay.
But we've done the calculations under UTAS's supervision. So there's some very clever people both at the University of Melbourne and at the University of Tasmania. So Matt Harrison at UTAS, who's an expert in sustainable agricultural systems. He helped us choose the right spreadsheet calculators to use.
Yep.
And then has checked over the data. So we used a beef and sheep calculator to look at our emissions, to see what we produce on farm, and that covers everything from power consumption to petrol and diesel use, fertilizer use, all the way through to then what our animals are actually emitting. And then we've got a custom sheet that looks at our soil sequestration rates.
Right.
And so...
So fairly detailed.
Fairly detailed. It's over 5 years, our sequestration rate. It's not just a one-off measurement. We took soil samples 5 years ago down to 100 mil, so a standard soil test that any Tassie farmer probably does with their agronomist. And then we've just had that redone, and so we've got a long-term pattern of our carbon in our soil. And from that, we could clearly see we'd increase our soil carbon by about 1%. Now, down in Broome Creek, we're very, very lucky that we've got pretty good soil and we've got pretty good rainfall already. But we went from 8.5% soil carbon a few years ago, 5 years ago, to 9.5% this year. So we've increased our soil carbon by 1% over that time frame.
So how do you feel about that now? What does it mean to you personally? Is it what you've been trying to achieve?
It is. It's one of the reasons we sort of wanted to get into farming. We want to be as sustainable as possible. We wanted to be resilient. I was an ecologist before being a farmer. And from that training, one of the best models for resilience is nature. And so you look at how nature does things, and I know it's not really how farming sometimes works. If we can try and link the two together a little bit more, maybe in terms of conventional farming, we've got great opportunities for the future.
Can I ask why you didn't get it done professionally?
We didn't do it through the accredited scheme because of the expense. So for a farm like ours, we're just over 100 hectares, which is where you need to be for the minimum viable size for financial gain from carbon farming through soil sequestration. It costs between $3,500 and $5,000 to get the soil testing and accreditation done. And there are various schemes that are saying it's going to be possible. From where we are with 8.5% carbon or 9.5% carbon already, theoretically, we may not have that much further to go before we've saturated our soils. Because we only looked at the top 10 mil, carbon can be stored throughout the soil to great depth, maybe even up to a metre if your soils allow it. We've got a long way we could go, but we chose just now, just to get it done, to show where we were.
So do you think you'll get to the stage where you'll get it done the accredited way, or is it just too expensive?
I think the UTAS are working on ways to get the cost down. So it may happen, and that would be great. I think then it gives Tasmanian farmers a really great opportunity to look at another income stream. And really, that's, I think, what I'm trying to spruik talking to you today is the fact in Tassie we have good rainfall, we have good soils, we're in a really hot place to farm carbon, and we can do it as another income stream. And I think that's what could make a difference for some farmers.
So what have you noticed with the difference in the farms since you've been trying to get this result?
Well, really, we've been doing it for 10 years. Right. It was just our soil tests were done five years ago.
Yeah.
What we've seen is our soils hold a little bit more moisture. We've always got something for the animals to eat. It may not be high productivity ryegrass species, but instead of having one or two species of grass or maybe five species of grass in the paddock, we've got 34 different species of plants. That's nature having diversity there. So there's always something providing fodder. There's always something at different times of the year that's palatable and is able to give the animals the nutrition they need. And so we're turning off high-quality animals, even shortly after winter when theoretically we'd be looking at having to carry them through for quite a way.
And the animals, how many have you got at the moment?
When we started 5 years ago with the soil carbon tests, I think we were up around 50 cows and calves a foot and possibly a goat herd of around 100. We've now changed the ratio a little bit. We're now looking at 25 to 30 cows with calves a foot and almost 300 goats. Last year, we chose with COVID uncertainty not to grow the herd at all. We knew we would sell all our produce with 72 goats worth of milk and cheese, and so we stuck at that, and we have sold it all. We've had more demand than we can produce, and we're now looking to increase the herd a little bit, and then we'll have another look at the end of next year.
It's Ian Field from Leaf Farm at Copping in the south of the state talking about his carbon positive farm.